That's not how we typically start this show. That must mean the one and only. It's like WWE around here, man. David Roddy just walks down the hill, the ramp. He's jumping up on stage. We got big news coming from the Colorado State Stud. David, my friend, I was at Pro Day today. I thought I'd see a run of 40 or something, but instead I see a tweet out, some pretty big news or some tweets rolling around. Thanks so much for jumping on the show short notice, my man.
Yeah, no worries. Hey, Brady, you forgot about me spin water into the air.
You know you got to do it at some point, man. That's what I pictured. I told Jaden, I'm like, we got to get his music going. It's going to pump him up. It's like he's walking around holding up the belt. I love it. So you'd spit the water in the air, okay? We know that for sure, right?
Yes, for sure.
David, my man, big news. It's crazy. I was watching a lot of these young athletes run around today for the Pro Day where all the reporters are sitting around, and then we start talking about David Roddy, which is always a topic of discussion. We kind of thought this was coming, but go ahead and tell us the plans, my friend.
Yeah. So, I have to talk to the family and posting on, my social media that, I will be entering my name into the 2022 NBA draft while keeping my eligibility for my senior season. So, man, it's just an exciting time for myself. And so much hard work has gone into this, decision. And I'm really just excited for the future and what it might hold for me.
Man, big news. And all right, let's talk about this. What was the decision-making process like first? Because I definitely want to pick your brain as far as what you've experienced so far. Who's that first person you talked to that you really felt like, okay, you're going to help me make a decision going forward? Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yeah. It was just mostly my coaches. Those guys are great human beings, and they have a lot of knowledge. They've had a few talks with people on that level, and they would say it would have been a good idea to for me to enter my name and just go through the process and really learn as much as possible. Just be the best basketball player I can be, going up to, this next 6 weeks. So, they definitely supported my decision and kind of pushed me into, getting everything set up so I can, make that decision as well.
Okay, so the coach is obviously Coach Medved and Ollie Farouk Manesh, a great crew. You've talked to us about every single one of them so much. They're sitting down with you saying, hey, we love you, man. We'd love to see you back. But we also know that you're good enough for the next level, so you might as well go get evaluated. Was that essentially kind of the summary of that chat?
Yeah, that's basically the gist of it. I have their support and they have my support. So, it's definitely two parties were agreeing on it. So.
All right, so we know, okay, you're declaring for the draft, and as you said, you're maintaining your college eligibility, so you do have that option to return to the school. So there's certainly a lot of things still, up in the air to kind of see how this process goes. But so far, what is that like, David? I always wonder, is it like you make a few phone calls and then bam, you're in? What is that process like when you officially say, I'm going to declare for the NBA draft?
Yeah, it's a few things. It's not just saying it out in thin air. you have to file some paperwork. You have to email certain people and just let them know about your decision and everything. And then after that, that gives you the green light to be evaluated by coaches, GMs, and scouts. So it's definitely a little bit more of a process than I thought it would be, but. Again, it's the NBA, so it's very, it's very strict and, lots of paperwork.
I totally just picture you as Michael Scott walking outside of campus one day and just yelling into the air, I declare for the NBA draft.
Oh, my God. That'd be hilarious.
You know you got to do it today at some point. Please. They're going to be like, hey, there's David Roddy screaming in the air for some reason.
Right.
There it is.
Right. Doing jumping jacks on the parking lot.
It's so awesome, man. And again, this whole process, I think, is really, it's really unique. And I love the fact that this was tweaked a few years ago, too, where now, it used to be you declare for the draft, essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you declare for the draft, you're essentially in. There is no going back. I love this because it does give you that opportunity to see where you are. And if you're not satisfied with that, it's easy as it's just staying where you are and having one more amazing year at Colorado State.
Yeah. That's, basically the gist of it. I think, it definitely helps the process a lot. There's a committee that, gives you a certain grade and, gives you evaluation and just say, like, hey, it might be a good idea to to, you know, again, return for your year, but it is definitely, you're going to see a lot more players, you know, enter their name while maintaining the eligibility just to hear feedback. So that's very, very important for, you know, people who are trying to pursue, you know, their dreams and everything. And, you know, again, kudos to, you know, the NBA and everybody for, you know, allowing that to happen.
David Roddy joining the program. And, of course, the big news of the day, David Roddy declaring for the NBA draft. He will keep his option to return to Colorado State. Okay, so what's the timetable for all of this, David? Like, as you go through the process, like, what's your next step? What do you do first as far as this whole process of declaring?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's just, again, to figure out all my school, schooling and situations and everything, and the teachers have been really, really flexible, you know, with me and you know, just allowing me to go through this process. I'll definitely have to go train somewhere. I think, you know, I'm pretty much headed to Phoenix to go train with, you know, again, a certain agency just to, you know, better myself for, you know, what's to come in the next 6 weeks. 6 weeks to 2 months, pretty much. So it's a pretty long process, and you know, again, I won't know my final decision until, you know, after that process is done.
So going to Phoenix to train and really kind of get that NBA feedback, so to speak. Do you know when exactly? Like, I've always wondered, is it you sit down a few meetings, they evaluate you, and then they say ultimately this is where we think you would land? What does that look like? Is that a string of days that they're talking, or is there like a final date where they're like, David, this is our official assessment, do with it what you will?
Yeah, you know, again, it'll be a lot of training over the next 6 weeks, and then I believe I'll be, you know, going to the NBA Combine as well, and, you know, doing all those measurements and evaluations and everything. So I really won't know my final decision until the last week of May, because there's just so many team workouts. There's so many, you know, things that I have to go through to, you know, better myself and my stock. And so, yeah, again, it's going to be a pretty long and grueling process, but, you know, I'm excited for it.
David, what was your family like when you obviously going through these discussions and then ultimately saying, hey, this is what I'm going to try to do here? What was that like for your family?
Yeah, no, it was exciting. You know, they've always, you know, had my back and supported me, you know, 100%, and they're super excited. You know, and it's actually funny. Some of them really didn't know. Like, they were, like, kind of surprised. It was like, oh, really? Like, he's entering that early? Like, it's already happening? So, you know, again, it was just a mentioned dream of mine, you know, growing up as a kid. But, you know, for it to finally be happening, it's pretty surreal for, you know, myself and the rest of my family.
It's crazy, man. I mean, you've done all of these amazing things. Obviously, the Mountain West Player of the Year. You guys get to March Madness. But, like, seriously, when you're in high school, you dreamt of being in the NBA. But did you really ever think you'd get to this point where you're actually out loud or, you know, officially going to say, I declare for the NBA draft? I mean, was it something where you're like, yeah, that's going to happen, no doubt about it. I will be in that territory.
Yeah, it's actually pretty surreal. You know, again, it's all happened so fast. And, you know, I try to take time and just to embrace the moment. But it's definitely really tough to just, you know, just to say, like, hey, I might, you know, I have a potential to be getting drafted this year. So, man, again, it's a dream come true. And you know, hopefully I can, you know, keep furthering that dream by, you know, hopefully just doing my best.
When did that become a reality to you in your head where you thought, I mean, was it last year? I remember when you and Isaiah stormed onto the scene, super softs, you know? I mean, we talked about you guys. Where did these dudes come from? So obviously our radars are picked up. When in your brain were you like, I could do this. I could play at the next level.
Yeah, I think it was just going into the season. I feel like, you know, I was trying to do my best as much as possible. I worked, you know, really hard, and you know, after Paradise Jam, you know, I had a breakout performance really then, and then my confidence kind of skyrocketed. So, you know, I definitely had, you know, confidence that I definitely could, just from playing, you know, NBA kids in high school and, you know, some college guys as well. But you know, it was definitely you know, a lot closer than I thought it would. So yeah, again, it's just pretty surreal.
According to ESPN, and you've probably seen all of this stuff, but you're the number 31 prospect in ESPN's 100. I mean, dude, that's pretty incredible, right?
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's pretty crazy just to look at, for sure.
Yeah, well, my man, I tell you what, I'm very curious. I wanna track and follow you along, as you said, this 6 week, this 2 month journey. Either way you slice it, you know, it's so weird for me and probably most Rams fans, because I know you're I've said it a million times, and it's not, you know, me breaking any kind of news. You're an NBA player. There is no doubt about it in my mind. But I want to see you play for Colorado State, too. I want to see you do one more year. And I know Rams fans are feeling the same thing. They're like, wow, we could have a Ram in the NBA, but we also miss David Roddy. So I know it's going to be really bittersweet for a lot of people. Either way you slice it. And again, still may come back depending on what's going to happen. I know where you're ultimately going to end up. So to me, it's win-win. To be honest with you, David.
Yeah, you know, that's, again, a great thing about, you know, declaring while maintaining eligibility is getting as much feedback as possible, you know, getting myself in front of, you know, the eyes of, you know, a bunch of teams in the NBA, and, you know, I'll have a leg up, you know, after next season. So, you know, again, you know, there's still a lot to do here, but, again, I'll have to wait. You guys are all going to have to wait pretty much 6 weeks still to make that decision.
All right, so I don't need to ramp up my texting to you until about the six-week mark, and then I'll be like, David, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Then we'll get aggressive on it, okay?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, David, my man. Well, yeah, let's. I'd love to stay connected here in the next 6 weeks, like you said, and if we'll find out something, I'd love to see, you know, what the next decision. There's still more to learn about your journey, and it's sky's the limit for you, my man. Appreciate your time today. Congratulations on this. This is a huge deal. Either way you want to slice this thing, this is a big deal. Number 31 in ESPN's 100. Just congrats, man. It's such a joy to follow you and talk to you, and you know, it couldn't happen to a better person.
Thank you, Brady. I really appreciate it.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you next time. Good luck. Good luck in Phoenix. We'll be rooting for you, okay?
Thank you, guys. Go Ram.
All right, there's David Roddy. There he is. Wow. Boy, I don't know, Jades. I don't know. Does he get drafted in the first round? He's a number. Okay, again, it always depends on the needs of the teams, too. Like, people ask me about Trey McBride today. I think he's a first rounder, but it does depend on the needs for the teams. You know, you look at a lot of teams in the league going in, they need tight ends, what have you. How much do they need a tight end? For Roddy is going to be a unique prospect. He's a Draymond Green type guy. We've talked about that. Charles Barkley type guy. Where it's not like he's, you know, a 3-point shooting, you know, just nonstop kind of shooter. He's not a point guard. He's not a guard. He's a big man with ball handling skills, can shoot the ball on the outside, great moves on the inside, good passing vision too. So the question will be, number 31 of 100, is he going to pop up on enough teams' radars where those people working with David say, you're a first rounder? And then the other question is, what if they tell him he's a second rounder? We believe you are going to go in the second round. Does that change? Do you risk it? Because you want to get drafted. There's, as you know, two rounds in the NBA. This isn't baseball, Jade. It's not 977 rounds or football with seven rounds. This is two rounds. So you look at that number 31 prospect in ESPN's 100. Probably so. I mean, that's probably a first round kind of guy. So I guess time's going to tell. I know he's going to be an NBA player. I just thought maybe one more year under his belt would further cement that. And that still might be where he goes with it. He essentially told us as much last week. If he's not going to enter the transfer portal, if he's going to play college basketball, it's going to be for the Colorado State Rams. But more than likely, he wants to see where he would stack up. And that is the smart thing to do. Honestly, it's the smart thing to do. I would have been shocked had this story not come out. So a lot of Rams fans are tweeting, you know, the sky is falling and da-da-da-da-da. No, not yet. But I do wonder if you're 31 out of 100, what that really looks like. He was named Associated Press All-America, honorable mention, Mountain West Conference Player of the Year. He averaged 19.4 points per game, 7.5 rebounds per game, through almost three assists a game, a steal a game, a block a game, 33 minutes per game. His team went to the NCAA tournament. There's just so many things about David that seem to lead me to believe he's an NBA guy. Now, the question will be, is he a first rounder? maybe 31 out of 100. You're right there on the cusp, right? And then again, it depends on what the team's needs are. So he's maybe in that second round area. Does he want to risk it at that stage? That'll be the question. What a day today, Jades. We get this news. I saw Trey McBride run a 40 in his underwear. So that was exciting. It's pro day, man. Pro day is weird. I just got it. So yesterday I went to UNC's pro day. Today I went to CSU's pro day. And first off, at Canvas Stadium, it's beautiful. They take us into this media room. They put us in there like sardines. There's a big window overlooking the weight room. And we're all like just watching them. I picture like those old-timey doctors back in the day when they had to, how they studied people and they just watch a surgeon do stuff on their patient. And they're just watching, taking notes like this is a normal thing. They're all working out down there. And we're all pressed up against the glass just watching dudes work out. And then they let us go watch Ryan Stonehouse punt. Stoney's an amazing punter. I got to get him back on the show. I want to get all the prospects on, dude. We're going to have Komaite Coffee on. I think the standout for UNC, we'll have him on tomorrow. Don't worry, Jades. Your eyes got big there. Like, dude, I told you I was coming in hot today, didn't I? I told you. Trey McBride ran a 4.54. That is fast for a big, gigantic tight end. That is really fast. My guy Scott Patchen was out there. We had the Scott Patchen show throughout football season mixed with the Ellison Hubbard show. It was cool to see him again come back. You know, he had kind of an interesting departure from Colorado State. You know, his guy, Steve Adazio, he was definitely in Steve's camp. But it was cool to see Scott. Scott's a great guy. Barry Wesley, some other guys rock and roll. And again, watching Stonehouse punt in the completely empty Canvas Stadium was awesome. Lot of people there, dude. TJ Ward was there, former Broncos safety. I stood right beside him. Did not get his autograph, Tanner. I'm sorry. I don't know what he does now, but he does something. He's a superstar, or he was a superstar safety, and he's out there watching pro day. So cool to see him, man. Part of that Super Bowl team. 23 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'll talk about it. Pro day. What does it mean? Is Trey McBride a first rounder? Wow, you could have a Trey McBride and David Roddy drafted in the same year? Wow. 23 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310. KFK.
March Madness can be heard right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Colorado State Pro Day today. Guys were jumping, running, lifting, and punting, too. Ryan Stonehouse was punting out there. Had a chance to stop by there this morning. It's a cool experience. I mean, I love this kind of stuff. It's, you know, it's sports. It is a little strange, though. Like, they do strip down to their nothings, pretty much. They have their boxers on or Under Armour stuff. It's kind of strange. I would feel it's so freaking quiet. There's all these media dudes and women we were at the practice field for most of it. We actually went to Canvas to watch Ryan Stonehouse punt the football. And it was fun. I mean, it's cool. It's kind of windy for Stoney, though. That was kind of unfortunate. We're going to try to get Stonehouse on, maybe Trey McBride soon. But Trey McBride, unofficially maybe, I don't know. He ran the 40, 4.54. 4.54 seconds, that is. So that's pretty good. Dude, they each get twice. They each get to run it twice. And so he ran it the first time, and you just heard one scout just yell out, "Yeah, we're good." Like, that's it. You're good. You're that good, man. Don't even do it again. He did a lot of the other stuff, I believe, at the NFL Combine. So I don't think he ran the 40. So he wanted to run the 40 there. How much does all that stuff really move the needle? I was thinking that. Like, Ryan Stonehouse is a punter, okay? He's an amazing punter. He's not going to get drafted because he's a punter. I can't imagine. So does watching him today move the needle at all? Oh, he punted with nobody running at him. He punted in not a game. Does that change? Watching Trey McBride run a 40. Now, speed is different. The 40 is probably the number one thing. Like, that's, yeah, lifting is good, but the 40 is number one. Because if you have speed, you can do pretty much. And that's at every level. I mean, if you're a fast punter, great. If there happens to be a fake, you're fast. You can get away. If I know you're fast, I can do a lot with that. You know, as a D lineman or even an offensive lineman, knowing that they can run downfield and block for you. They can pull. You know, the faster you are, the quicker you are. That's why those cone drills are important, too, because quickness and speed. How fast are you? How quick are you? And then the bench press, how strong are you? To me, those are the three. Jumping, yeah, for receivers and tight ends and cornerbacks and safeties and linebackers and stuff. But I always think it's hilarious that you come see a gigantic center do that. What are those things called that they have to jump up and slap? That's how they do it. I watched that up close and personal at UNC's yesterday. And, I mean, it's crazy. But, like, seeing a lineman jump? Why does a lineman got to do that? How many times you see, like, an offensive lineman jump up in the air? I can see why a D-tackle needs to jump. If they're going to try to knock down balls, knock down passes, knock down, maybe block a field goal. That's information that I kind of want to know. But I don't really need my center to jump up in the air. I'm not really complaining because it was a fun day for me. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris, Brady, does General Payton, George Payton, have enough ammo to acquire McBride? No, I don't think so. Trade Jerry Jeudy. Brady, why do you hate Jerry? I'm just saying, you're stacked at wide receiver, bro. You've got a lot of options at wide receiver. Trade Jerry Jeudy in that second round pick? Hey, can you move up into the first? Yeah, probably. But I don't think they're thinking that. I don't think I think he's done trading players. Maybe not. But you don't have enough draft capital to move up into the first round, in my opinion. Now, the teams that need tight ends, you have to just take a look at it here. How long will Trey McBride last? Well, he's not going in the first round. Jacksonville needs a tight end. But they're not going to take a tight end in the first round. Let's see. I'm just looking. Detroit. Detroit's got the second pick overall. They don't really need... They kind of need a tight end, but it's not a big need. Just doing some of my own research. Houston Texans, they're number three. I mean, he's not going to go in the top 10, okay? I think if you're let's go down to like 15 and move on down. Like Philadelphia, the Eagles, they don't need a tight end. And they have 15 and 16. The Chargers, Saints, Eagles have a ton of first round picks. Did you see? I mean, they have three first round picks. Whew. What about the Chargers? I mean, like, those are the teams. You're going to start looking at those teams and saying, okay, what do they need? So it's not necessarily, is Trey McBride first-round a talent? Yes, he is first-round talent. Chargers kind of need a tight end, but not going to be number one need for them. How about the Saints? I saw today, they've got a kind of a shakeup going on. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Taysom Hill, they're going to like move him to tight end. But he'll still probably be a part of some passing packages, I would imagine. Let's see. Saints kind of need a tight end. I'm looking for teams that desperately need tight ends. That's where you're going. All right, those are the guys that are going to take. Because the Broncos are like their number one need. I mean, tight end's probably just as much there. Broncos need an edge rusher, another cornerback, another linebacker, another safety, depending on what Kareem Jackson does. You know, could use another lineman, tight end, could use another running back if they don't re-sign Melvin Gordon. Tight end is the number one need for Denver. Edge rusher changes a little bit now because of the Gregory situation. Do you need a another corner or inside linebacker more than you need a tight end? You like Albert O. I think they do like Albert O. Let's see. You want to look at number one needs here. Who has the biggest need for a tight end? Giants are certainly in that mix. Man, I was at the checking out the Draft Network this morning, and not a lot of teams have tight ends as their number one need. Like, Washington needs a wide receiver and a corner. Minnesota needs a safety and an inside lineman, D lineman. Titans need a wide receiver. They need a tight end, but it's not number one need for them. So the question becomes, are these secondary teams like the, you know, like an Eagles who has 465 draft picks, it seems like, in the first. They don't need a tight end. So you do look at it, okay, Detroit has pick number 32. Detroit needs a tight end. That's kind of a need for them. Would they go in for a guy like Trey McBride at 32? How about the Packers? The Packers are drafting at 28. I could see the Packers drafting Trey McBride. They kind of need a tight end, and Aaron Rodgers needs another weapon. Is Albert O better than Trey McBride? I don't think so. No. I know. Pillow fight Dan saying I'm a homer. I get it. I can already hear it. I can hear it. But I'm out there today, guys, and you can take my homerism aside. I'm talking to real scouts, real NFL scouts, real talent evaluators, and I ask them all the same thing. Is Trey McBride a first rounder? Not a first round talent. Will he get selected in the first round? Abso-freaking-lutely. These are NFL scouts. These are scouts that are going to be essentially writing reports saying, draft this guy. So, yes, he is going to be drafted in the first round. B-Rad says, watch out for the Vikings to get him. The Vikings, I'm looking at their, I've got this like interesting need scale that I went through. Vikings need a safety, a D tackle or an inside D lineman, a corner, a wide receiver, linebacker, edge, pretty much every position. They have a lot. Minnesota has a lot of needs. But maybe. Where are they drafting? Where's Minnesota drafting? Efforting music here, Jades. It helps me think. It just does. I don't like it quiet like a library at Pro Day. Like, at least put this music on during Pro Day. Da, da, da. Gonna run this 40. Here we go. Doesn't really pump you up, though. Number 12. Thank you for that. Let's read some texts. East Side Chris. Yeah, that's great. Judy is expendable. Yeah, probably. I mean, if you want to get aggressive, you're going to have to trade something worth that the teams are going to bite on and give you a first rounder. At 12? Yeah. B-Rat, if the Vikings, I mean, he'll be available at 12. I think Trey McBride will be available at 12. Pillow fight in. I bet McBride is available at the second. At the end of the second, if the Broncos really want him. I don't think so, bro. I don't think so. And I thought he'd be a first. Listen, before today, I said he's a first round talent. Is he going to get selected in the first round? Maybe, maybe not. Today, after talking to scouts, I feel like yes. He's going to get selected in the first round. Well, Kenny Swamy, I love McBride, but I don't think I'd give up Judy for him. You'd go from you'd get rid of a third option, and you'd have two options. You'd go from a third option. Jerry Judy's the third option in my mind. I think it's going to be Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Jerry Judy, KJ Hamler, in that order of receivers. Albert O, where does he fit in as a tight end? You get Trey McBride rookie year, I think Trey McBride becomes option number two for Russell Wilson. Make it happen, George. Make it happen. B-Rad, no, they will trade back. Maybe if they get that sense, and if that's their guy, if that's who they want. Who needs a tight end the most? That's the question. Saints kind of do. The Rams kind of do.
Panthers kind of do. I think the Packers need a tight end. I don't think he'll survive past the Packers. We're at 28. I think he's the 20s guy. I think he gets taken in the 20s. 24, 25? He's a tight end. Remember when the Broncos moved around and ended up getting Noah Fant at number 20? Everyone was like, ooh, a tight end at 20? But this is different. Trey McBride is the best tight end in the country. The Weld County Swami really feels like Judy is going to tap into that potential with Wilson. Billify Dan, Judy won't be the third option at the end of the season. Judy is going to have Justin Jefferson, a Justin Jefferson type year this year. I hope so. I just think he'll be the third option right now. Billify Dan, QB matters. You know what else was a great show? Family Matters. 12:41 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. Pretty easy poll question today. Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at thehullshow.com. Is Trey McBride, will Trey McBride, because I think those are two different questions. Is Trey McBride a first rounder? Yes. First round talent. Will he get selected in the first round? Go vote at thehullshow.com. Let me know what you think. I think he will. Further cemented by what I witnessed today. I mean, when you talk to NFL scouts, they're the ones that pretty much put the work in before the draft. And, you know, again, it's the general manager's decision at the end of the day and the coaches, but they lean on their scouts. 62% of the Hooligans say no. Trey McBride will not get drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. Oof. I think you're wrong. I think you are just wrong. He's going. It's going to happen. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. You know what we need to do? We have not got to our big story of the day presented by FMS Bank, Banking Made Simple. Which it was David Roddy, but we'll do something else. We had him on. Got to fulfill the segment. Nathan McKinnon, according to ColoradoHockeyNow.com, Nathan McKinnon skating and shooting pucks with full force today in Denver. That is a big, big deal. You know, we were worried yesterday, didn't play. How bad was the injury? Jared Bednar said he was extremely concerned. Getting that news is a big, big deal. The writer goes on to say that McKinnon was shooting pucks and looking like his normal self after, the Avs beat the Calgary Flames 2-1 without him. That's a big deal. But then again, the Avs are pretty good without him, too. 22-3 in the last 25 games that he's missed. So, again, that just kind of shows you how good the Avs are. They're a complete team. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. I think we're trying to get Chris Dempsey on the show. Efforting anyway. We'll see in the 1 o'clock hour. Also talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, about CU's pro day as well. So from over a week ago. So we'll talk to him, get what he thinks about pro day in general. I always like picking Mark's brain about that kind of stuff. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're going to have We're going to have Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, on later today. Also, I think we're going to have Chris Devitt. You just give him a call, Jay. You give him a call at the first hour, at the first of the hour, and we'll get him on. Rock and roll. Looks like Joker's going to win back-to-back MVPs. Feeling really good about that. Tanner Schwinn of NoCo Now talking about the Rockies making the playoffs. He's going all in on this now. Poor guy. Are you there? I feel like you're... Jade's been hanging around Tanner a little too much. I wasn't here this morning and caught you guys talking about the Rockies making the playoffs, and you've got them close. You've got them much closer than I do, than most of our hooligans do. A lot of people thinking 70, you know, 70 so or win. We did our over-under last week, and most said under 70. But you've got them winning a lot of games.
Yeah, I'm nervous because I kind of have contradicting beliefs right now. I think that they're going to be a very winning team, but that I also don't see them making the playoffs. I don't see them, I mean, seven teams getting in. I have the last two getting in. I have the Phillies or the Giants, and I just don't see them being better than one of those two clubs.
But you got a move in mind that would make the Rockies better.
I personally want Ketel Marte to go to the Rockies because he's super cheap, $15 million a year. Like, super.
Are they looking to move him?
Probably not.
Probably not. It's just a name you thought of that thought, okay, this guy would make sense because you need more bats, right?
Exactly. I mean, and with Charlie Blackmon in the outfield, he's just a liability. My thought was you get rid of Charlie Blackmon and send over Zach Veen because the Diamondbacks are in a rebuild. That gives them their future, and it gives them a veteran for a lot of their younger guys.
Look at you, Jades. That's well done right there. I like it. I'm all for it. Would that be a move to push them over the hump? Because you've got them at 80. How many wins?
I could see them getting 87.
And still missing the playoffs.
Potentially. I see the NL being fairly strong.
If you bring a Marte on, does that give you 90 wins?
Oh, 100%.
And then you're a playoff team?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think if that was the case, let's go. Charlie Blackmon's a fan favorite at this point. I mean, he's not at that high level that he was. Does he still have capability to have a string of games? Sure. But playing in the outfield, he's not been great, you know, especially the last couple of years.
Well, and the thing with Ketel Marte is he's universal. He can play anywhere in the outfield and second base. So you can give those infielders a break. I mean, all your infielders, Brendan Rodgers, Ryan McMahon, they're all pretty much universal anyway. But
are you shocked that the Rockies are making moves that a team that thinks that they could be in the playoffs is making?
Oh, I'm shocked.
They're making playoff. These are Chris Bryant, Grichuk. Those moves are, hey, we think we can get into the playoffs. Let's add a couple of guys.
Yeah, I'm 100% shocked.
I am too.
I mean, out of all times to try and win, it's now.
Why would Chris Bryant come to Colorado? I mean, money, obviously. We can get money anywhere.
Offense. I mean, it's a hitter's park, and he's a hitter.
So he just wants to get more, pad those stats a little more.
I think so.
Wow.
I think he's a good fit here, though.
They're not going to be as bad as I thought. I don't know, man. I don't know. Was it Bill? Bill Schmidt? I think he's done a good job.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the year, but I mean, again, it's going to come down to the bullpen to me. 100%. Marquez goes six innings. Freeland goes six innings. Sensi, whatever. How's your bullpen going to be? That's a big, big question. Because if they're bad, you're going to lose a lot of games. That's just the way it is. I don't know that you'll have the offense that can outscore a bad bullpen. Second hour coming up next. We'll get into some Denver Nuggets talk. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.